The church is a hospital for sinners. When we get sick, physically sick, we say, take me to the doctor. But why is it that when we get spiritually sick, we say, I don't want to go to church anymore? The next Sabbath that you wake up and you're discouraged, and you say, I don't think I'll go to church today. By the way, some people think that they can get as big a blessing by going to the beach as they can by going to church. No, you can get a blessing from going to the beach, but not as big a blessing as from going to church. It depends on how much you need help. See, if you can get help by going to the doctor's office, but when you really need help, you got to go to the hospital. So if you want to get a blessing today, walk in the woods. But if you want to be with God's people and to be where the Holy Spirit is, you go to church. So if you wake up in the morning and you say, I don't want to go to church today, then call the elder or the preacher and say, come and get me quick. I need to go to church and I don't feel like it. Sometimes we feel guilty in the Christian life. Let me tell you something today. God expects you, listen real close, God expects you and I to live up to what we know, not what we don't know. You may not have caught on to that. God wants you to be the Christian today, and you and I, the Christians today, that we know we should be and can be by His grace. This should be comforting to us. You are asked to give as much of yourself as you are to Him. You can't give something to the Lord that you aren't or that you don't know about. Just give Him your life today just as you are. But you might say, hey, but I fall so far short. I'm not perfect. Just give Him what you are. I've got good news for you today. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
Give Him what you are today. Have I talked to you about health yet? Sometimes I don't remember with whom I'm talking and where it is. I know I've talked to some of you about health. You say, why talk to us about health? We're Adventists. Adventists live 12 years longer than the rest of the people. It's true. We Adventists have a privileged lifestyle. And those Adventists who follow the lifestyle live 12 years longer. The problem is most of us Adventists are not following it. The bad news is that age for age and occupation for occupation, with the exception of lung cancer and certain colorectal cancers, we're just about as sick as everybody else. How sad. How sad that is. I don't know when it happened, probably in the very beginning. And I don't think that those who began to do it had bad motives. But some way, what we call health reform has been taken over by a fanatical spirit. In fact, I've had the experience, and maybe you have, of someone coming to me and asking me the question, do you want to be a member of the 144,000? What can you say? You've got to say yes. You can't say no, or maybe. You've got to say yes. And I can remember they asked me that question, and I said yes, and they stuck the book Counsels on Diets and Foods right up by my eyes and said, here is the translation diet. Now, listen to me real close. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The 144,000, it's true. The prophetess has told us will not be eating meat. Now, don't ask me why or how. But it won't be the fact that they don't eat meat that makes them ready for translation.
Amen.
You didn't misunderstand that, did you? Why or how that will have happened, I don't know. But they'll not be ready for the coming of Jesus because that they've stopped eating meat, but because they've allowed Jesus to give them a new heart.
Amen.
You see, if getting into heaven was a matter of being a vegetarian or following a certain diet, then the Hindus would be there. If getting into heaven was because we don't drink liquor, then the Muslims would be there. But those who will be with their Lord are those who have made Jesus the Lord of their life. And it's much easier to be a vegetarian than it is to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to let Him change your heart. I'm glad I'm a vegetarian. I'm glad, I think, for two reasons. One is, obviously, it's a healthier way to live. The other is, I'm so thankful that I don't have to kill to eat. I don't even like to kill mosquitoes. I wish I could just say to a little mosquito, "Honey, go away, leave Daddy alone." Because when we kill, you see, we can't give life. You take it away, it's gone. Life is a sacred thing. So I'm glad that I don't have to kill to eat. Remember, I mentioned to you before that 80% of our chronic diseases are lifestyle induced. This is serious. We're talking about arteriosclerosis, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, and certain kinds of cancer. The Lord expects us to be good stewards. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. A person who knows better, a person who respects the body temple, who wants to eat and drink and do all to the glory of God, will be sensitive to his diet. And not only his diet, but to exercise and all that has to do with the maintenance and the well-being of the body temple. We should be well-versed in the meaning of cholesterol. We hear this word these days. This is what's plugging up our artery. We should be sensitive to the amount of fat that's in our diet. This is causing us real problems, such as diabetes, for example. Sugar is a problem because we eat too much of it. Now, don't think you can give up sugar. Hey, it's in carrots. Have you noticed how sweet carrots are? Good ones? You can't give up sugar. But we should eat it in moderation. The matter of salt is necessary for our well-being. But it can also contribute to heart disease. Now, again, hang on with what I'm about to say. And I'm speaking to a particular problem. And that is, I've decided in my life not to give up cheese, but to play it down. I do want, though, to give up lying. Do you see what I'm saying? Anybody that's serious about cholesterol is going to want to play down cheese. Now, something happens if you play down cheese and don't give it up. But you give up lying. And that is, if I'm playing down cheese in my life, I may never eat another piece of cheese as long as I live. But if I should happen to have a cheese sandwich one day, I don't have to be rebaptized. You understand, don't you? I'm playing down eggs. I'm playing down eggs. If you're serious about cholesterol, you've got to. You've got to play them down. Now, when you play down eggs, don't give up eggs. Give up covetousness. But play down eggs. You may never eat another egg as long as you live. But if you play them down and you see somebody else eating an egg salad sandwich, you won't criticize it. And it's better to eat pork than to criticize your brother. And you know how bad it is to eat pork. A lady said to me, with tears streaming down her face, "Oh, I prayed today that the Lord would help me not to eat sugar, and I'm failing Him." I thought, "Oh, please don't pray about sugar." You see, God is not in the sugar business or the cheese business or the egg business. He's in the new heart business. If you want to pray about something today that has to do with your diet, pray around Galatians 5. Pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Pray for self-control. Don't pray about cheese and eggs and sugar and salt. Let's pray that God will fill us with His Spirit and will give us self-control. And if the Spirit of God is in your life and He's bringing self-control, it will affect your diet. Amen. I guess you might as well know it. As far as I'm concerned, I'll never see eye to eye with you. Or you with me. But should we? Should all Christians agree on everything? Or does any one of us know all there is about everything so that it would be safe to agree with any of us? The Scripture talks in Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, until we all come into the unity of the faith. Does this mean when we come into unity that we're going to necessarily come into agreement? I believe the answer is no. And this morning I'm going to tell you why in this sermon that I've entitled, Expect to be Different than the Rest. I expect to be different than you. And you can expect to be different than me. It's obvious. Look at the way we look. Have you looked in the mirror? Have you seen anybody looks like you around here? The languages we speak. Did you hear that special music this morning? In this congregation, that was a language known only to God. They were singing in unknown tongues, unknown to us. Our families are different. We, everyone from a different family background. By the way, you've even heard no two children are born into the same family. You see, as the oldest, I was born into a family with no children. My sister was born into a family with one child. You see, we're not even from the same families when we're in the same family. Our talents, everyone, so different, but it's so wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad that God's made us so different. I have a son-in-law, and he's a sporty type. He plays fast-pitch softball, and he's really good at basketball. I'm glad everybody's not like my son-in-law. All we'd be doing, we wouldn't even be up here, we'd be out playing ball. You can be glad that you're not like me. I like to grow African violets. If you come into my office, I've got just this enormous over there. In fact, it's about to crowd me off the desk. Beautiful African violets. By the way, if you want to see that God's not finished with His creation yet, just look around. I also grow orchids. I'm glad that everybody's not like my son-in-law and me, because you see, he can play ball, I can grow orchids, but I can't fix my car when it breaks down. I'm glad somebody's got talents that I don't have. Tastes. I'm glad people have different tastes than I have. You can be glad that you don't have the taste. You know what you'd be having here every meal? Potatoes. Sure. Oh, how I like potatoes. But how boring the world would be if everybody liked only potatoes. My wife, she likes rice better. As God has made the parts of the body to serve the whole body, so He's made each of us, listen, as a unique contribution to the human race. God saw that it was not good that man should be alone. And that's not just talking about creating women. He sees that none of us is so complete, so smart, so full of everything that we can exist alone. God saw that it was not good that man should be alone. By the way, oh me, I'm thankful that God brought my wife into my life. You see, the woman is the other half in some ways of the human personality. When we're looking to buy a house or to rent a house or to, you know, I'll walk into the house and I don't know if the house has got closets or not, but she does. She does. I'm not noticing, you see, that fine detail. I'm outside looking at the roof. Does the house have a roof? That's what I want to know. She wants to know if it's got cupboards. You see, I'm incomplete. My personality is incomplete. See, we need each other to be complete. No one is self-sufficient. The more talents that other people have, did you hear? The more talents that other people have, the richer your life will be. Nature is beautiful. Not because it's the same, but because it's different. And that's what makes the human race so beautiful. Because it's so different. Excuse me for using this expression, but the big toe was not made to serve itself, but it was made to serve the foot and for the balance and grace of the body. And so we were made to serve each other. There's a sinister wind blowing in our world. Because this sinister winds is saying that you should look out for number one. It's the I love me craze. This is foreign to nature. Nature in which each part serves the whole and the whole ministers to the part. We sin against God when we do not accept each other and when we criticize each other. I was over in Africa one time and I listened to an African minister preach to his African brethren. And he said something that I'll never forget. He said, never criticize a man for what he can't help. And I thought how profound that is. Are we amongst friends today? Oh, brothers and sisters, let us be as born-again men and women, super sensitive to this hole that we fall in so easy of criticizing other races and cultures. Amen. This is not funny. It's treason. Down south where I live, once in a while, you'll hear people say, well, you know, I'm a Southerner. Or, you know what that means. You know what they're really saying. You know, us, they're trying to justify or account for prejudice. And it's not just the Southerners who have it. Oh, brothers and sisters, a strike against another race is a strike against the Maker. Those of us who are involved in this will not see the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Criticism is trying to impose our own values on others. The key word is not values, but impose. You see, I'm sure you've got values that I need. But where you and I get into trouble, you get into trouble and I get into trouble, it's when you try to impose your values on me. I don't know why it is that we seem intent to try in trying to recreate each other in our own image. When you know it as well as I, a man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. Do you know when you get in the biggest fight with your wife? You know once in a while. You know when you get in a big fight with your husband? It's when one or the other perceives that the other one is not appreciating its own uniqueness and we are indeed trying to impose ourselves on the other one. That's when we get in trouble. We should understand that God values so highly the power of choice. And we've got to realize that we must respect this sacred right in each other. If you really want to change your wife, then be the example that you want her to be. If you really want to change your husband, then let your life be a living testimony to the values that you wish they had. Have you ever heard people say these days, they'll say, what we need to do is preach the straight testimony. We're not hearing the straight testimony. What do they mean? I'll tell you what it seems like, because they get happy. They feel like we're preaching the straight testimony when I stand up in the pulpit and confess your sins. Isn't that right? The straight testimony is me telling you what I think's wrong with you. Not the straight testimony. Hey, the straight testimony is going to be us confessing our faults to one another. In fact, that's what the scripture says. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. I need the healing today. I recognize and I confess my fault. Expect to be different than the rest. No man is complete in himself. None of us has a corner on truth. Aren't you glad you used dial? Oh yes, I sure am. Don't you wish everybody did? Nope. No, how boring it would be if when you went to the store, all you could have was dial. Aren't I glad that I drive in the sun? Oh, yes. Don't you wish everybody did? Oh, no. How boring it would be out there on the road if everybody had a car like mine. God is calling us not to agree. We'll never agree. We dress different. Doesn't that tell you something? I saw a flock of birds. I think they were blue jays. Blue jays are a beautiful bird. And it was a flock of blue jays. It was almost more than I like to see. It was too many blue jays. You see what I'm saying? If when you went outside, all there was blue jays, you'd be yuck. Isn't it true? God is not calling us to agree necessarily, but He is calling us to be united. We won't see eye to eye on every point. We'll all have different ways of doing things. My ear doesn't agree with my eye. If my eye and my ear got into a discussion, imagine what they'd say. The ear says, now you've just got to hear everything. The eye says, you're crazy. You've got to see it. Ear says, what do you mean? See it? That's not it. You got to hear it. See, come on. God has given us unique talents, unique points of view, but unique roles to play. Don't try to play my role. I won't try to play your role. Expect to be different than the rest. But oh, it's necessary. that we come into the unity of the faith as members of the body of Christ with Him as our head. Heavenly Father, O Lord, forgive us for the crime that we've committed against You as our sovereign in criticizing each other. O Lord, forgive us for the assault that we make on that great principle of Your universe, the freedom of choice. O Lord, thank You for making us just the way we are. For all the talents that are uniquely ours, that we're tall and we're short. That some of us have gray hair and some black and some red. Oh Lord, we don't agree. Bring us to unity. Draw us closer together through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.